Good morning. Good morning to each of you, to our visitors, to our members. We are thankful that you are here in our midst and worshiping with us this morning. Sometimes it is the case that we are not taken very seriously. When I think about just things in life, sometimes that's the case. Sometimes we can be so very serious, and yet those that are looking at us, you know, we say, well, it looks like they're looking at me like I've grown a third eye or something, or like an elephant sitting in a tree, right? Something that seems off, and yet I'm being very serious, but we're not always taken very seriously. It seems to be the case, as we read Genesis 19 just a moment ago, where Don read for us, Lot speaking to his sons-in-law, married those that had married, obviously, his daughters. And he says, get up out of this place. You've got to leave from here. God's going to destroy this place. And we might say they looked at him as if he had grown a third eye. They looked at him as if he's just joking. He seemed to be jesting. He seemed to be joking about it. They didn't take him very seriously and lost their lives, certainly, because of that. And we can look around and we can say that in life, some are not taken very seriously. Maybe some of that people have brought on themselves. We joke sometimes about politicians. Sometimes it's the case politicians are not taken very seriously. Why? Because we say, well, they'll say anything to get a vote, right? And so we dismiss anything that's said from that point after that. They make campaign promises and seem to never keep them as such, and yet what's the case? We look at anything that anyone that comes along after that and we say the same thing. Well, it's just another politician, so we don't take them very seriously. Speakers who go into the school systems and talk about maybe what's happened to their families. They talk about things that have happened to them personally, having to deal with alcohol or drug-related deaths maybe, or some situation that they had gotten themselves into, or maybe something that just happened to them. I know that you think about MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, Dads Against Drunk Driving. There's Students Against Drunk Driving. There's all of these different groups out there, and they go into school systems and they speak. And what's the case? Sometimes there's someone in the audience, yes, who will take them at their word, who will say, yes, I can see that, and I'm touched by the event that you're telling me about, the story that you're telling about. But yet the majority of folks will leave there not having taken them seriously at all, and they'll go out and they'll practice those things. They'll go out and do those things. They've not been taken very seriously. Sometimes it's the case that parents are not taken very seriously by their children. We kind of joke about this one as well. Sometimes when children are in their 30s, they'll look back at their parents and they'll just be almost blown away at how much their parents have grown in their knowledge over the last 10 years, right? But we've been training them the whole time, right? And you think about those things. Sometimes it's the case then that parents are not taken seriously by their children. Sometimes it's the case that children are not taken very seriously even by their parents or maybe by those around them. Sometimes it's the case that elders, preachers, leaders in congregations are not taken very seriously by members, by even visitors, by those who would stand and proclaim the truth. They just look at it and say, okay, well, that's a preacher's story. That's a, we'll chalk that up to, well, that's just another one of the preacher's stories, or a preacher joke or something like that. Or, well, he's supposed to talk about those things, but that's not necessary for me to know those things. I don't have to know those things. I don't have to be worried about those things. And they just dismiss it. And so sometimes it's the case that preachers and elders and so forth are not taken very seriously when proclaiming God's truth, or when trying to come and try to encourage someone to a better life, try to encourage someone to leave the practice of sin, and when called upon that, they're not taken very seriously. But also sometimes those individuals will lash out, and so we know how they feel. They not only are not taken very seriously, but it's sometimes the case that they're rebelled against because they've come to them to try to help them. I'm not trying to make that personal or anything like that. I'm just trying to give some examples of how sometimes it's the case that we're not taken very seriously. And that can happen in life. That can happen in a lot of different areas. But obviously we're looking to the Bible this morning, and we want to talk about those things that are spiritual. And so we could ask the question, has God been taken seriously? Has God been taken at His word? When He said something, did He mean it? And let's think about a couple of, let's just start with Adam and Eve for just a moment. They're placed in the beautiful plush Garden of Eden. They're told they can eat of the fruit of every tree with the exception of the one that's there in the midst. And the day that they eat of that particular tree, then they will surely die. They were told, they were warned. And God certainly meant what He said. And we see that in the repercussions to follow. But they took of that fruit. And in fact, they were tempted by those very things. God had said, don't eat of that fruit, that particular tree that's in the midst of the garden. And in so doing, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the devil, in tempting them, would use God's word against them to try to get, God's just trying to keep something from you. Well, was that truly the case? He was trying to, in fact, keep them from sin, wasn't he? He was trying to keep them in what was good for them and what was best for them in their life. So certainly, yes, God was trying to keep them away from sin and to keep them pure, was trying to help them. But the devil would take that and twist that in some way and say, well, yeah, but what, God's just trying to keep that from you. And not only that, He doesn't really mean what He says. You can't take that God seriously, is ultimately what Satan was saying. And so they didn't. And we know the repercussions of that. In Cain and Abel's offerings unto God, in Genesis chapter 4, we know that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice, more perfect and complete sacrifice. In other words, that which was according to faith. He believed God. Cain did not, rebelled against God in offering his sacrifice unto God. Therefore, it was not acceptable. And in fact, isn't that what God says to him? Well, if you do well, then all should be well. All should be good, in fact. But you've not done well. That was the point. He's trying to get him to realize just that. And of course, Cain would slay his brother. You know, I think about the fact that in just these first two cases, we haven't got through four chapters, if you will, of the first book of the Bible. And God's already not being taken seriously, is He? 120 years of preaching before the flood would come. Noah, there's Noah, and he's preparing the ark for those 100 plus years. And in so doing, is a preacher of righteousness. And he's warning people about the destruction to come. He's warning them to repent, that they needed to change their ways. And yet, they're not taking them seriously. We know that because it's only Noah and his family that get on that ark. We think about Jeroboam. As we move through Israelite history, you have the United Kingdom where Solomon has ruled, or where rather Saul has ruled, David, and then Solomon. Well, Solomon's son Rehoboam begins to reign after Solomon's death. And Rehoboam was going to, as a authority, was going to bring down the hammer, so to speak. He was going to make it harder and more difficult, more tough on the people. And they would know that the might of his little pinky was greater than that of his father's. And he made that very clear. And that caused people to rebel. They would then get their own king, Jeroboam. And Jeroboam says, okay, he's willing to serve as king. 10 of the 12 tribes, in fact, go into the area of Samaria. And what Jeroboam does is he begins to change things. He begins to change the time of worship. He changes the place of worship. We no longer need to go down. Of course, he was going to have to change the priesthood as well, because the Levites were still there worshiping in Jerusalem and leading those things there in Jerusalem. But we don't want you to go to Jerusalem anymore. We want to make it easy for you. So Dan and Bethel will be the place of worship. And here will be the times, and so you're not having to travel at the same time as your counterpart, so to speak, down in the southern kingdom, down in Jerusalem. So we won't have to worry about any of those things. We'll change all of that, change the worship completely. But wait a minute, God has already designed, this is what I want, this is when I want it, this is what I want you to do. Does God mean what He says? Was He being taken seriously? Absolutely not. You think about King Ahab. And the Bible tells us that he followed the ways of Jeroboam. In fact, concerning God's commands, the Bible tells us he counted it as a light thing. As a light thing. God's not serious about this. He doesn't really mean what he says. He counted it as a light thing. It's not really that important, is it? It's not important that we're down, we've changed the time and the place of worship and how we worship and ultimately then who we were worshiping, right? Ahab counted it as a light thing. The prophet Jeremiah wrote this, Jeremiah 5 verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Did they not have ears? Did they not have eyes? Could they not witness and see what was going on around them? Did that not matter to them? Evidently not, right? They just allowed it to continue on. And they got complacent in their ways and they were okay with it. And if Ahab, our king, counts it as a light thing, then it's a light thing. No big deal. And so when we ask, was God taken seriously? Certainly the answer is no. We come to our New Testaments and we think about Christ himself, the very Son of God, sent to this earth to die for our sins. And on one occasion in John chapter 6, there's a great crowd of people following Jesus, but we find out following for the wrong reasons. He's fed the 5,000 on the occasion before, the day before, and the next day they're following, and he begins to teach them and to call them out, in fact, because the only reason they were following was to have their bellies filled. And they still wanted to take him and make him a physical king because he had this power. John 6, verse 65 and 66, it reads, and he said, therefore I have said to you, no one can come unto me unless it's been granted unto him by the Father. And then he says, and from that time, many of his disciples, those who had been following him, those who had been listening to the teaching, they had been listening to the words of Jesus. Many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. How sad is that picture? Did they take him seriously? Well, they saw him as a powerful instrument of miraculous ability, one who could feed them at a moment's notice, one who could then provide all things that would be necessary to have an army, to lead an army against this revolt, against Rome, and to take back over, if you will. And looking back into their history, that's what they were looking for. That's what they wanted. He didn't fit their mold. And we find out then they didn't take him very seriously. Many of his disciples turned away and walked with him no more. We find that the rulers themselves did not take Jesus seriously. Acts 3 verse 17, yet now brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your fathers. But this kind of goes back to that the prophet Jeremiah had said. Well, you have eyes, right? But you're not seeing with them. You're not using them to see. You have ears, but you're not using them to hear. And so you're without understanding. And he called them a foolish people. Well, you look to the Jewish leaders, and he says that about their leaders, their rulers. In Luke 24 and verse 20, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned and crucified him. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 8, the apostle Paul would say this. He says, which none of the rulers delivered him. He says, of this age knew. He says the rulers didn't know. They were ignorant, as is already made clear in Acts 3:17. They were ignorant. They were leading the people astray, ultimately, because they were without understanding, not having eyes to see and not having ears to hear, evidently, and not paying attention to what was going on, not taking God seriously, not taking the prophets seriously, not taking Christ seriously, who was standing before them, proclaiming the truth. And he says, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified and slain the Christ. They would not have crucified him, the very Lord of glory. I think about Christ on the cross. Certainly not taken seriously there, is he? Those who pass by wag and shake their heads at him. They call out obscenities toward him. They mock him in every possible way. They didn't take him seriously. They saw him as a joke, especially now. King of the Jews, right? Written in all these languages so that every passerby could get it, could see. Here's the King of the Jews. I believe this is the way Pilate was kind of mocking the Jewish leaders as well. Here's your king. Now, calm down. That's how he was ruling them and trying to lead them. And the passersby who looked and say, well, this is just the carpenter's son, right? We read in Matthew 13, verse 54, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue so that they were astonished and they said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Which begs the question, were they watching? They see it? Yes, they saw it. They knew. Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? You see, they don't even want to take him seriously, do they? Even seeing the works that he's done, even hearing the teaching that he's doing, they don't want to take him seriously. This is just the carpenter's son. We know him. We know his mother called Mary. We know his brothers, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. We know his family, in other words. We know his sisters. They're all with us. Where did he get these things, they question. So that they were offended at him, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of unbelief. Why? Because it would have been pointless. They just see him as the carpenter's son. They were not going to take him seriously. That they had made evidently clear. They were not going to take him seriously. And then we have to ask this question for the application for us in this lesson. We see how God is not taken seriously. We see how Christ was not taken seriously, even when he was standing right before them and doing those mighty works and proclaiming those mighty lessons that he taught, so much so that many of them stood back. And he's not teaching like one of the scribes. He's teaching as one who has authority. Christ was not taken seriously, so we ask, how serious are we when it comes to spiritual things? When it comes to God, when it comes to Christ, when it comes to the church, when it comes to the kingdom, how serious are we? And so we look at those two points that we've already taught and we ask the question, did he mean what he said? When he taught those things and when he was trying to explain how those should respond to his son, that they should listen to him. Matthew 17 and verse 5. This is my beloved son. Hear him. And so we ask, did he mean everything that he said? Do we believe him? Do we believe the inspired writers? Those are yes and no questions. Pretty simple for us to answer one way or the other. Yes or no. Did he mean everything he said? And if so, do I believe him? And do I believe the inspired writers? And so the next question. Are we honestly doing those things? Are we doing those things which he spoke? Are we continuing to read and to study and to grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we growing in his grace? Are we growing in that knowledge base so that our faith is in fact growing? So that we can step out those doors, live out our faith for others to see? And we could claim Galatians 2:27 like Paul and said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Are we able to do just that? Are we making an attempt to grow are we, like others, not taking God seriously and not taking Christ seriously? Many today treat the Bible as just simply a historical book. Many people today treat the Bible as if it's not the very breath of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's literally God breathed. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And many today treat the Bible as if it's nothing. Oh, it's just written by men, so it doesn't really matter. In other words, not taking it seriously when it comes to Christian living and what the Bible has to say about our lives as Christians. And then that reminder that we should be faithful and that we should endure to the end that we might have salvation. Do those things stand out when I read about my life and what it's supposed to look like? That I've put off that old man. I cannot no longer walk in that way, but I have to walk in this way as a new man, a new creation, a new creature in Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. When it comes to my speech, when it comes to the way that I dress, am I taking those things seriously? Some will naturally say, do they really matter? Does it really matter? Go back and ask ourselves, did God mean what He said? When it comes to the topics, the difficult ones, marriage, divorce, remarriage, Matthew 19 is clear as day, very simple, and yet we have so much difficulty in the world today. And not so much in the world. It seems that many in the world get it, but many in the brotherhood, unfortunately, fight over this very passage of Scripture. And it's as clear as it can be. Not only that, we think about abortion. We think about homosexuality. We think about those difficult topics. When we look at those and we say, okay, well, does it really matter? We're saying that what God has to say, I'm not taking seriously. And then we look out in the world today and do we not see the direction of the majority? And we've been warned about that. We understand that, that it's few that find it, but that doesn't mean that we just sit back and rest upon our laurels. Well, I've got it right. Are we taking seriously the command to go out and to teach others? To go out and be a light unto this world? What does that mean if it doesn't mean that we're going to help change things for better? When it comes to the plan of salvation, some would not take it seriously and say, well, you're trying to work your way to heaven. Some would say, well, God's plan was to send His only begotten Son, and so He did that, and therefore we're saved. That idea of universalism and so forth. Well, that's part of it. But then God did explain exactly what we're supposed to do in response to that. How we respond to God. And if we believe Him, we believe His Word, we believe in His Son, then we're going to do those very things. What about the responsibility of being a member of the Lord's church? Not just a member at large, we're talking about a member of a local body of Christ. There's responsibilities that we have. There's works to be done. Are we participating in that? Are we taking part in that? Or do we look at that and say, well, it's not really all that important. I'm here. Look at me, I'm here. Well, that's something. But the participation is the idea of our fellowship together, our working together. In unity, in harmony. And therefore, there's a responsibility that we have. Why? So that we might bring glory unto God. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. The Lord adds to His church and expects glory by His church. And we need to be mindful of that. And therefore we follow Him. We follow Christ. Luke 9 and verse 23. We die to ourselves. We take up our cross daily. And we follow Him is the idea. Why? Because He's the head. Ephesians 1 and verse 22. Therefore we worship God. We serve God. And we serve others. We love Him and we love others. We reach out and we embrace within. Why? Because that's the responsibility that we have as members of that blood-bought institution known as the Lord's church, the kingdom. We often talk about the Great Commission to go out and to spread the gospel, to go out and to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And in so doing, we might say, someone may say, come along and say, well, that's for you to do. That's for the preacher to do. That's for elders to do. That's for the deacon over evangelism to do. That's, we have specific ones who do that. That's not for everyone. And yet, Paul would tell Timothy, you commit that to faithful men who will also teach others as well. It was implied by both the Apostle Paul and Christ Himself that we would go out and teach others, instruct others, not just in the gospel, but to do all of those things, which would include the teaching of the gospel. How serious are we? Sometimes we're not taken seriously ourselves. We understand then how that might feel. Think about God, how He might have felt when His very creation, there in the garden, who have walked with Him, when they rebel against Him and don't take Him seriously. And throughout the history of man, those who have not taken God seriously, those who heard the words that Christ preached and didn't take Him seriously. That's why Jesus would make those pronouncements and cursings against Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin, those cities there in the, around the Sea of Galilee. Why He would make that? Because He spent so much time with them. So many miracles were done right there in the location. They saw that and they heard Him teach. And so what about us? How serious are we about Christianity? About our salvation? Have we taken the proper steps to respond to the very blood of Jesus that was shed on our behalf? Do I believe Jesus to be the Son of God? Would I repent of my sins, confess my faith in Christ, be baptized to wash away my sins? Because that's what Jesus said. Are we going to take Him at His word? You see, He's promised to save us. He's promised that we can have heaven as our home. Do we take Him seriously? Are we continuing the daily to live faithful? Understanding our responsibility in the work of the kingdom, but also knowing that in this difficult life, we look around and we see the world, it's gone awry. We see the evil around us, and it's often that we're tempted by those very things. If that's the case, would you repent? Ask God to forgive. And we're here to pray for you, to encourage you, every way that we know how. And so this morning, if you have a need, won't you come to the front while we stand, while we sing this song?